Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye. Jen, I think at the first service I suggested it was your conversation with your young adults, but somewhere along the line, I think I heard last week that your children didn't understand the music of the 80s. Was that you that said that?
I got one
that gets it. Somewhere in my travels this week here at Hilltop, I heard a parent probably 20 years younger than me was talking about their children, and they said their children didn't understand the music of the 80s. I'm a child of the 50s and 60s. The music of the 50s and 60s is perfectly clear. I mean, who can forget the words of ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla walla, bing bang. If you're not old enough to remember that, that's fine. I confess, I've never quite figured out, was the purple people leader, was he purple and ate people, or was there to eat purple people? Can anybody help me out with that? And who can forget the poetry of John and George and Ringo and, see, I forgot somebody here. Paul! I'm sorry, Paul.
Sir Paul.
Sir Paul. With, I want to hold your hand. I want to hold your hand. I want to hold your hand. Ooh, ooh, ooh. That's the product of my time. I mean, that's up there with Shakespeare. On the Rolling Stone Top 500, number 387 387. You guys don't know it? Okay, choir, don't fess up here. It's Ray Charles, and it's Hit the Road, Jack. Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. Jack, sit back down. Now, Carrie read to you from Mark 6, the deeper in a little bit, but the context matters. The context of where Carrie read matters, and so I want to, for a moment, talk about the Jesus context of what has happened. He's gone back home. And I'm not sure I'm perfectly clear of what Jesus expected to happen when he got back there, but the arrival didn't go well. It didn't go well at all. He shows up, and they basically say, "Is this not the guy who works with his hands?" It's what the tekton could be translated carpenter, but it could be somebody who worked with their hands. And in that culture, someone who worked with their hands wasn't somebody you're going to listen to about how to be on a spiritual journey. Then there's this little backhanded reference. Is this not Mary's son? It's almost like the Matthew-Luke story about the ambiguity of Mary's conception that the community might have seen, might have understood, has translated into the story here in some kind of way. They don't even mention Joseph in this element of the story. We know his brothers and sisters. The bottom line of what has gone on before here is, where does this guy get off? Who the heck does he think he is talking to us this way? We don't have anything to get from him. Is he not Mary's son? Is he? Do we know his brothers and sisters? We reject his idea because he's just a guy who works with his hands. It's almost like he's hearing the words, "Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more." And it clearly has an impact on Jesus. Earlier in Mark 2, when the four friends of the paralytic man lower him through the roof, Jesus says, their faith has healed him. Later, Jesus will touch the woman who's bleeding, and he will tell her that her faith has made her well. At the end of this passage, you get this paragraph, this sentence that we read there. And Marilyn and I must have spent an hour this week trying to figure out what to say about this. It says that Jesus was unable to perform miracles because of the unbelief of those that were there. Simple answer is that it's outside of his character to be performing magic tricks in order to prove his ability for those who are not believers. It's part of his character, not part of his character, just to perform miracles for those who are not believers. I've encouraged you to take a look at this Emilio Estevez movie, starring his father, and Emilio is also in it in various parts of the movie, All the Way. How many of you took me up on that homework assignment? Okay, we're going to work on that. All right? We're going to show about five or six of those here. One of the primary characters in this is a guy named Jack. And he's lovable too, Jack. He really is. He's lovable. Jack's from Ireland. And like most Irish, he has a goal of being a poet. He wants to be a Yeats. Maybe he wants to be a Joyce. Probably secretly, deep inside, he wants to be a Shaw, right? Right? Right, Bob? Right, Bob? Tom? Is Tom here? Elaine? Who wouldn't want to be a Shaw, right? Marilyn? Okay, the humor there is my wife's last name is not Shaw. But instead of being a poet, he's writing travel books. He thinks he's perhaps on this wrong journey. And not only does he have to write travel books, he's now suffering from writer's block. Can't write. Everybody on the journey with him that we'll work through over the next 6 weeks has something going on in their lives, but his is sort of this element of where he wants to have people recognize who he is and what his abilities are, and basically he's had to hit the road, Jack, and he wonders if he's going to be able to come back. Here's a brief excerpt from the movie, and I just want you to focus on how he talks about the road. Adam?
The idea of a pilgrim's journey on this road is a matter of bonanza. Friends, the road itself is about travel with ships, the high road and the low, the long and winding, the lonesome, the royal, the open road, the private, the people from the hell, the tobacco, the serpent, stream, and now there's the road stretching to infinity, bordered with lacy mist, shielded by sentimental poets, to the more dignified road of Mr. Ross. And for Yanks, every 4 years, there is the road to the White House. And at the moment, which most concerns me today, the wrong road, which I fear I must surely have taken.
Now, for those of you who are young enough to not realize, don't always talk about the road to the White House, just find some of us who have gray hair and we'll explain it to you. It's up there with ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah. That brings us to the passage that Carrie read. Jesus has had this rejection He's not been able to, he's chosen not to. It's not part of his nature to perform these miracles. But he now goes back out in the countryside around Galilee. And something different happens. The faith of those that are there changes. And he deploys, he sends out the disciples two by two. And he sends them out two by two, probably so they have someone along with them to help them out in this journey, someone to assist them, to help them in moments of weakness. He sends them out and says, "Travel light." Travel light. I wonder what that means in your case. I've used the imagery before where traveling light could include the idea of giving back to God the heavy things, the guilt, the lack of forgiveness, the pain that we have from brokenness in our lives, and giving that to God. I wonder if that's not an element, perhaps, of traveling light. It tells people to travel light in such a way that they are not able to sustain themselves on the journey by themselves. They have to sort of rely on others. They have to check into houses. They have to go to houses that are there, and they have to sort of rely on the hospitality of others. I don't know about you, but I think all of us wrestle with the element of the fact that we're these self-contained spheres. I don't need anybody else helping me. And what Jesus is saying, I invite you to go out, travel light, and by the way, be prepared to let others nurture you and support you on this journey. And if you get to a place where what you say is rejected, or it's not somehow doesn't seem to resonate, doesn't pick up, then go out of town and don't bear any grudges. Don't get angry. Just go out there and shake the residue of that place off your feet and go on to the next place. That story that Caitlin read, powerful story. Very powerful story. I mean, how many of us basically say, "I am who I am, and there isn't anything about this world that's going to change me in any way"? We encounter these deserts, these wildernesses, these places that the reality is that those will alter us. Those will change us if we just continue to keep driving headfirst into those kind of things. Have to adapt. Have to be prepared to travel light and leave behind some of the things that keep us from changing, from adapting. And what happens in the story? The stream finds out what it is to truly be a stream. What would happen if the church really thought about this and figured out what it was to really be the church? Can I have an amen? Wouldn't that be great? If we left behind all the baggage that we carry around, left behind, traveled light. I don't know what that looks like, but Roberta, you're along on the trip, I assure you. But I wonder if perhaps the answer isn't in part found in what we sang in "Come and Find the Quiet Center." In the Spirit, let us travel, open to each other's pain. Let our loves and fears unravel, celebrate the space we gain. There's a place for our deepest dreaming. There's a time for our to care. In the Spirit's lively scheming, there is always room to spare. We're on a journey. I don't know where you're starting from. I don't know where you're going to end up. I don't know how much change is going to have to happen to you. But the invitation that God offers us is to be prepared to head out on that journey. Leave behind the things that slow you down. Be prepared to be open to the hospitality of others. Don't let the grudges, the things that cause us to be angry with our lives, to slow us down and hold us back. But most of all, we're invited to be prepared to change, to be changed by God's Holy Spirit. That's the invitation for this first Sunday of the Way of Discipleship as we journey to Jerusalem with Jesus. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.